Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace, Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
Welcome to this week's broadcast of A Word from the Holy Fathers. I'd like to focus this week on a passage about St. Anthony of Egypt, St. Anthony the Great, the forefather and founder of monastic life in the Church. And I specifically want to talk about a passage in his life by St. Athanasius the Great, namely chapter 65 of that life, in which there is revealed truth about our battles after death, the battles in the air, as they're called, and how they relate to the battles of this life. Without further introduction, I'd simply like to start by reading the passage, slightly longer than some that I read here on this series, from St. Athanasius's Life of St. Anthony. "Once when he was about to eat," St. Athanasius writes, "having risen up to pray at about the ninth hour, Anthony perceived that he was caught up in the spirit, and, wonderful to tell, he stood and saw himself, as it were, from outside himself, and that he was led in the air by certain ones. Next, certain bitter and terrible beings stood in the air and wished to hinder him from passing through. But when his conductors opposed them, they demanded whether he was accountable to them. And when they wished to sum up the account of his life from his birth, Anthony's conductors, this angelic being, stopped them, saying, 'The Lord has wiped out the sins from his birth, but from the time he became a monk and devoted himself to God, it is permitted for you to make a reckoning.' Then when they accused him and could not convict him, his way was free and unhindered. And immediately he saw himself, as it were, coming and standing by himself, and again he was Anthony as before. Then, forgetful of eating, he remained the rest of the day and through the whole of the night groaning and praying, for he was astonished when he saw against what mighty opponents our wrestling is, and by what labors we must pass through the air. And he remembered that this is what the apostle said, 'According to the prince of the power of the air, for in it the enemy has power to fight and to attempt those who hinder to pass through.' Wherefore he most earnestly exhorted, 'Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, that the enemy, having no evil thing to say against us, may be ashamed. And we who have learned this, let us be mindful of the apostle when he says, "Whether in the body I know not, or out of the body I know not, God knows. But Paul was caught up to the third heaven, and having heard things unspeakable, he came down, while Anthony saw that he had come to the air, and he contended until he was free." Once again, that is section 65, or from section 65, of the Life of St. Anthony, written by St. Athanasius the Great. My beloved brothers and sisters, it is not primarily of the state of the soul after death that I wish to focus in raising this passage, but what it has to say about the purpose of repentance in this life. Though to get to that, one must look at death and the life after death, for this is what reveals to St. Anthony himself the urgency of his asceticism in this life. It is this vision in which he is given a glimpse of what happens to the soul when it departs from the body, that is, when death comes and the unnatural rending of the soul from the body takes place. It is in this vision of that experience, which God grants him before that time comes, that St. Anthony, made aware of our future trials, is able to focus his life with renewed attention and zeal upon that which is truly important. And what he experiences when he is given this mystical foretaste of the separation of the soul from the body is that there are trials faced by the soul as it passes through the air, which is the traditional language of our church for the soul's departure from its closeness to the flesh, which lingers for some days after death, and its ascent into the bosom of Abraham, where it is protected by God, awaiting the general resurrection. And during that period, the soul faces trials. Saint Antony's own experience is that angelic conductors lead him into the air, lead him heavenwards, towards the great bosom of Abraham, but there are those in the mix who would contend against him. They ask him about his life, they seek to examine him in light of his sins, etc., and that these trials exist at their persistence for the soul, who is nonetheless guided and protected by angelic conductors, guides, who lead the soul in the manner that it ought to be led. In this, Saint Anthony is giving voice to a tradition we find everywhere in the Fathers of the Church. Though the explanation of this teaching, using the term toll houses, which is a translation of a particular vocabulary, became somewhat controversial in the 20th century, it is nonetheless a universal teaching of Orthodoxy that the soul, after death, does face trials. And whether or not the imagery of a toll house, which to many people seems juridical, which seems overly legalistic, whether or not that imagery is employed or not, the universal testimony of the Fathers is unchanging. The soul faces trials, turmoils, contests after death. And those contests are related to what happens in this life. And that is the message that Saint Anthony takes away. Notice that he doesn't come back from this vision, pondering over the nature of toll houses or what they mean or how to interpret them, or what they might say about God and his mercy, etc., the kinds of things that have provoked such heated and often vitriolic discussions in the past century. Saint Anthony returns from this vision and this experience of those aerial trials, convicted that he must live his life in a new way, convicted that he must teach those in his spiritual care to, as he says, take up the whole armor of God, quoting the Epistle to the Ephesians, that the enemy may have no evil thing to say about us, and so may be ashamed, there quoting the Epistle to Titus. The experience of this trial after death, of which he has a foretaste, inspires Saint Anthony not with intellectual curiosity, but with ascetical earnestness. That which befalls the soul after death is related to how we live in this life. Therefore, knowing that the soul will face these trials, rather than providing for us a fearful context of all of the pains that we might go through, provides us with an inspiration to repent truly. For the testimony of the angels, the testimony of his own experience for Anthony, is that if we truly repent, then we have little to fear by these experiences and tests that befall us all. And indeed, if we accuse our own conscience day by day, if we confess to God minute by minute in our hearts and regularly through the holy mysteries the sin that is there, then when we arrive at these temptations, what can the demons say to us? What accusations can we make, they make, that we have not already made against ourselves before God? What fear is there to be had from accusers who can only repeat accusations that we have already made, that we have confessed to God, and for which he has already forgiven us? We see a touch of this in the response of the angels to those demons who want to sum up Anthony's life from his birth. And they say, well, from his birth, you cannot ask, because he has started a new life with his monastic repentance. Indeed, this is the very same reality that applies to all of us whenever our life begins anew through confession and repentance. The demons, the devil, anyone, they have no power to accuse us of those things for which we have already been forgiven by God. Therefore, the testimony of this vision for Saint Anthony, for me, for you, and for all of us, is not to be afraid of what is to come, but to translate those future trials into the present, to accuse ourselves now that by self-accusation, repentance, confession, and absolution, we may be free to put on the full armor of Christ, to stand well defended against all our enemies, knowing that the forgiveness of God is far stronger than the accusation of the devil. Therefore, let us learn from this mystical experience of the saint the same thing he learned from it, that the time for repentance is now. It is not to be put off till tomorrow, to another day, but at this moment we must stand before God with a repentant heart. And let us trust, as Saint Anthony grew to trust, that if we so accuse ourselves, so repent, we will be set free from every trial, in this life, in the next, that it will be solely the glory of God and the grace of his love that fills our hearts. Through the prayers of our holy fathers among the saints, Antony the Great of Egypt, and Athanasius the Great, his biographer, and all the saints, have mercy upon us and save us, O God. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe, offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers.